He's tough. He's uncompromising. Plowing in with Terry Wallace.
For the new Mexican chicken sub from Subway.
Three weeks in, that is the thing about football. He's back again. G'day, Plow.
Hello, Half. How are you going?
Very well.
Anzac Day, you're looking forward to it? Too many games for you, or are you okay with it?
No, I'm okay. If you're going to play one, you can play five.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I'm absolutely fine with it. I don't know whether I want five every year, but yeah, when it actually falls on the Saturday.
Yeah, falls on the Saturday.
When it falls on the Saturday, I'm actually 100% okay with it.
And
I suppose I spoke on KB's show on Monday about it as well. I coached 6 years ago, maybe 7 years ago now, the day that David Zarakis kicked the winning goal at the MCG.
Where were you?
That was a Saturday. I was coaching the Tigers, and I was driving into Etihad Stadium on exactly at the time when Zaka kicked the winning goal for the Bombers, because we were playing North that night.
Right.
And I just thought the experience that it gave the Richmond guys over the week in the lead up to the Anzac Day game, having the ability to bring ex-servicemen into the club and have them speak. We went down to the bowels of the shrine and did that whole situation. We're arm in arm with young servicemen. So there was basically this group of 20-year-olds.
Yeah,
some in uniform and our guys in their civvies all together. It was actually a really, really good and sort of telling moment. And for them to experience that and to have that, I think was a fabulous thing for them to get an understanding of it. Otherwise, only ever Essendon and Collingwood, and I'd never want to take it away from them. But I just thought, you know, for a one-off to have those others have the experience. And I can understand why South Australia want to have their part in it and why Western Australia want to have their part in it. So I don't really have much concern with it at all.
No, five games on a Saturday, that's what happens in the AFL, and Anzac Day will fall on a Saturday every 7 or 8 years, whatever the system is. And that's okay. And I think you're right. I mean, a lot's talked about football's impact on Anzac Day, and it's certainly not about football, Anzac Day. We know that. But I think what football does is give people opportunities to come together as a community, as a football community, or a team, or a supporter base, and do it together. And I think there's real power in that when you get groups together to do these types of things. And even just from the education point of view, from the information that you get during those sessions, like that one at the Shrine with your boys. And we had Jack Jones in yesterday from the Bombers.
Oh, isn't he brilliant?
And he's just telling stories, and the ones you're telling off air are even better. And he couldn't tell on it.
He's one of my favourite football people.
Just brilliant.
Met him a couple of times, and I love the history of the game, always have. He is one of my favourite football people.
He's an amazing man, Jack. Amazing man.
What age
Seven
is he
Seven grand finals.
He what, is he, what age is he now?
He's 90. And up and about. And he's
incredible, isn't it?
I reckon he's got 50, 60 years left in him. He's a machine,
Well,
Jack.
We hope.
Well, I reckon he has.
Good.
I reckon he has. He's a machine. So I think Anzac Day is terrific, and I think football's been good for the education, particularly the younger generation of just getting the word out there. This is what Anzac Day is on the back of a footy game. So
yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I mean, I think the AFL's ability to educate is pretty good. I think we've done a pretty good job in that. And you're right, it's not about the footy, but I just think that football does help educate in a lot of different areas, or at least bring things up to the forefront of the general public.
Yeah, absolutely.
For them to consider
and to take further if they like. And a lot of people have done so, and I think the interest in the Anzac legacy these days from teens and in early 20-year-olds is phenomenal compared to when I was a teenager.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. But what around as well? And
you
know, if we are talking footy and we're getting back to the footy, it looks like the AFL have sort of said, Anzac weekend, we're going to put everyone that we think after about a month of footy would be about around the same levels, because that's the way it's actually worked out. I think it's one of the tougher rounds that I've seen. I mean, I know the other week was incredibly tough with the upset results, but just looking at even matches, there's some good matchups.
Well,
who wins out of, I mean, I know you do this tomorrow, but who wins out, and selection will be a major part of this game, who wins out of Geelong and North?
I don't know.
Where were you sitting there? Does Zeeble play? Does Zeeble play? Does Wells play?
Wells might play.
Tommy Hawkins play?
Yeah.
How does the Geelong side sort of line up? Jeez, it's a tough game.
Yeah, I don't know is the short answer to that. I think you're right. I think more than any other game.
You know what I'm going for in that game?
Who?
If Tom Hawkins plays, I don't think Geelong will get beaten.
Mm.
From the emotional, emotive side of it, on their home ground, with one of their mates, what he's been through over the last week, if he runs out and plays in that game, I don't think Geelong get done.
Can't allow them to lose.
No.
Mm, interesting. Very interesting. That game is going to be a beauty on Sunday at Simmons Stadium. The Cats and the Kangans, of course, the Scott brothers back in action again. Always like that from the twin point of view, the storyline. Sure there'll be a story about that in the paper the next couple of days, Terry.
Yes, and the last time that the Kangaroos won down there, can you remember?
No.
Was Geelong's premiership year, 2007.
Was it?
Yes.
The last time they went down there?
Yeah.
How many times would they have played since then?
Not sure. Can't answer that one. Give me some notice.
Oh, hang on a second.
You know why I know?
Why?
Because that was the day that Geelong said enough was enough, and they come up to Etihad Stadium the next Saturday night.
Oh, and did a number.
And kicked about 800 goals against my Tigers. And never looked back from winning the flag that year. That really was, you know, if you talk about the old line in the sand sort of stuff, early in the season, I think our game would have been, say, round five. So it would have been round four down there, maybe three or four. So, but that was their line in the sand. This is not going to happen. Moons will be in a bit later on. I would love to have known what actually happened behind closed doors, because I think that's when they had a crack at young Gazza.
Young Gary, yep.
About sort of his attitude and approach to things and what he could become in the competition, and never look back from that time onwards. But I always remember that particular game the last time North won down there.
I'm sure you do.
Set it up for what I think was probably the worst night that I ever had coaching.
Right. Okay, I'm going to go and find that scoreline in a second, just to remind you. Where are we today, Terry, as we move on?
It's question time today. I'm going to throw a few questions at yourself.
Yep.
And certainly at our listeners. Want as much participation as what we can possibly get. So I'm going to throw a couple of questions at you, get our listeners to answer what they believe, and then I'll give mine at the end before we roll on to a couple of others.
Right, so I want to hear some of those questions very shortly. I found that scoreline too, Terry, just to take you back.
Thank you very much.
Pretty dark place. They only kicked 10 goals in the first quarter, the Cats, that day.
Just 10?
And you just kicked the one.
Yep. 10-1 at quarter time. Well, that's a good start, isn't it?
It was like 3-0 on West Coast last week. And then they only backed that up with another 10 in the second to your one. So at half time, it's 20-2.
It's looking good, isn't it?
I've got a question with our defensive structure there. And then
I've got an answer for you, too.
I have no doubt you have. And the third quarter, they only kicked 9. Yep. It was only 9, and you only kicked 3. So
dropped off the
that's
pace.
Where you fell away.
Dropped off the pace.
And then they were really tight in the last quarter. They only kicked 6, and you kicked 4.
Well, it shows,
so
doesn't
it? You really did bring that back on your terms
shows
in the last quarter.
That we were getting better as the game. If we had to play for another 15 quarters, we might have got them.
So 35 goals to 9.
It was the longest night ever.
Oh, man.
And I've got to tell you, that night, I can remember we had a fairly young side in. We went for a young midfield who got smashed, absolutely smashed. But it was one of those games where we were playing a one-on-one style game in the first quarter.
Yep.
And just were getting, 10 goals to 1 says it all. Then we sort of said, look, this is going to get out of control. Well, it was out of control, but this is going to be ridiculous. It's going to be a ridiculous scoreline if we don't do something about it. So we dropped a couple behind the ball.
Yep.
They kicked 10-1 again with a couple. That was with us having an 8-man defence, and they kicked 10-1 because what it was then doing was it was having the game played in their half because we had the extra blokes behind the ball.
The avalanche kept coming in.
They pressed up, and then we couldn't get it out, so it just pummeled it sort of down there. So then we went at half-time and sort of said, well, we might as well make this a learning experience now and put our best kids on their best players just so that we get something out of the game. Didn't matter what we did. Everything that we did, blokes behind the ball, blokes learning experience, they just smashed us.
20 goals to 2 is hard to come back from at halftime. And whatever they said to Gary that week worked a treat. 32 disposals, 3 goals from the little champ. And brother Nathan took offence at what they said to him too. He kicked 4.
They were all kicking them. Half. They were all.
Mackey kicked 4. Look at it. There's Chapman's kick 4. Hawkins 4. It's just a plethora of goal scorers there. Lynn kicked 3.
Why did I bring this up?
I don't know why you brought that up.
Well, sometimes you've got to have a bit of therapy in your life.
Well, Rod in Werribee might be able to help you through that a bit further. G'day, Rod.
G'day, Terry and Daniel.
Hey, Rod.
I was there that night, Terry.
You poor unfortunate person, Rod.
Was he broke for July?
I was praying for the Cats.
Oh, yeah, well, you're okay then.
There's three things I remember distinctly. One is that I think Bomber Thompson, had they lost that game, because it was round six,
Cats
were 2-3, may well have been under real pressure to hold his job.
Yep, I would agree with that.
The second thing was the first Richmond supporter left at the 18-minute mark of the first quarter. He threw his ticket down on the ground, and it was 7-2. I actually think he might have kicked a goal at that stage, or might have been 7-0. And the final thing I remember, I actually took my aunt, who'd never been to the football before, and she actually turned him at one stage and asked when Richmond have their turn with the ball.
Well, it was ridiculous. It was one of those games, and I think we've all seen them at local level or played in them or whatever at some sort of stage. I mean, certainly, I have. When I was playing with Camberwell under-19s in the VFA, we used to get beaten by 30, 40 goals every single week.
Did you?
And it was the only time that I've played in a side that was that weak.
Yeah.
Lucky enough, I played in their senior side the year after, who were really good. But, so we've all played in those sort of games. Gee, it's tough. When you're sitting there trying to coach that, and it's so non-competitive, it's tough to actually... I mean, people are sitting there and what can you do now? I mean, you've tried to flip players around in position. You've tried to put numbers behind the ball. When you're just getting completely and utterly smashed, that's tough going.
Well, one thing you can really give yourself a pat on the back for, Terry, and a real feather in your cap as a coach, is you won the tackle count that night, 51-49. It's question time today. Terry's going to throw some questions at us, so be ready. Before that happens, and probably integrated into, I would think, Terry, Joe's in Baldwin, who wants to talk the North and Geelong encounter this week. G'day, Joe.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good, thanks.
Just want to talk about the last time, I believe, North at Geelong at Cadinia Park. I'm pretty sure it was 2006, last round of the year. North won by, I think it was a point. They dropped Geelong down to 10th spot, lifted us, Richmond, up to 9th spot. They got pick 7, which ended up being Joel Selwood. We got pick 8, which was Jared Oakley-Nichols. Another memorable win for North there.
And they did lose in 2007 down there.
Yeah, 2007 was their last victory
five,
down there.
Round 5 it was, 118-102.
I've taken enough pain for the day. I'm not taking any more half. I threw myself under the bus early. So.
That's good. Thank you, Joe. 2007 was, in fact, that last one, the Round 5 encounter.
First question, seeing we're talking about North Melbourne, who will do more damage half in 2015?
Yes.
North Melbourne, who a lot of people had in their top four?
Yes.
Or Essendon? So who will be the better team?
Good question.
And why?
Yep.
Out of North Melbourne and Essendon. By the time we get to round 23, listeners, who's going to be on top out of North and Essendon and why?
Oh, good call. 9-14, 9-11-16. From what I've seen so far, I think Essendon.
Well, that's all you can go on is the body of work that we have.
Body of work, the small sample, as Kingy would say.
Correct.
Small sample. I think Essendon, because they've proven that they've got a... From what I've seen anyway, they haven't proven anything yet in 3 weeks. But from what I've seen, I think they've got more modes of play. My concern with the Kangaroos is unless it's full steam ahead all the time, I'm not sure they've got the capability of playing another style of footy. I think they're very good at that. And they nearly got away, nearly pinched a game against Port on the weekend as a result of that play.
Correct. Oh, was that the game?
I'm just concerned. My concern with the Kangas is, do they have another mode? Should they be shut down in that mode? Should door number one be closed? What's behind door number two? And I'm not convinced that the Kangas have shown me enough to say that they have door number two.
So where do you think the Kangas are likely to finish then, crystal balling as we do it?
I'm thinking sort of anywhere from 6 to 9 maybe? 6 to 10 probably. If they don't get the finals, they'll just miss. Well, I think they'd be sort of 5 to 8. I think they'll play the finals. And I was speaking to Justin Crowe before, I'm not sure if you heard this or not, on Fit and Well with Cobes, that all his evidence suggests, and he's the high performance manager at the Bombers, suggests that the indifferent start to their preseason, their season, the home and away season, with their inability to play practice matches, will benefit them come later in the season. So that even further goes to say that I think they'll be able to maintain this sort of stuff because they've started really well.
I would have thought that it would benefit them. We all talk about minutes of competitiveness or ballistic play, and each club will keep a time of how much time in ballistic action that each player has been performing, and that's why in this day and age, if you win enough games early, you try to layer some of your players, give them a week's rest so that they get a bit of time out of that ballistic action. Yeah. So I would have thought that the less ballistic action that they've had, the longer the season goes on, that would be a benefit to them.
That's after round three, I reckon, Essendon. Let's get to our calls. A few people lined up already. Gazy and Laverton's a very, very big North Melbourne supporter. Gazy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Actually, 2 weeks ago, I was pretty much had my hand on the cup. I was working out what top I was going to wear when I was getting a photo, but
Gazy. You're great.
2 weeks in, I've actually been thinking of this. I was talking to a bloke the other day. I reckon Essendon's a big chance, mate, because to the way they're playing, and their mental strength, obviously they're going to be a lot stronger than your question, Terry. I reckon they're a lot mentally stronger than the Kangas, so that could push them up a bit with what they've been through over the last few years. And I just think that'll hold them in good stead. One that comes to, you know, the top end of the season and what they've, you know, their strength and their mateship and all that sort of thing, I just think that's going to get them over a couple of big games.
Well, it has been. I mean, it's been a real challenge for them the whole way along, and they've handled every challenge that has been put in front of them. They've handled it pretty well half up until this stage. Well,
they've been remarkable, let's be honest, what they've had to go through. Thanks, Gazy. North Melbourne man saying, isn't it? George in Northcote. G'day, George. Where's George? Georgie. Georgie Gonski. Let's get to Ron. Hey. Oh, no, George, you're there.
Yes, I'm here.
Righto. Welcome, George.
Yeah, thanks. Look, I actually think the Kangas for me, because if you look at the over the pre-season, they actually had some particular point, January, early Feb, a lot of their players still going through their operations and injuries that they were getting fixed up from last year. And they had a lot of players that weren't fit. And I think over the next couple of months, you'll see those players that are slowly coming back, hopefully they don't lose any more, start to gain some fitness and momentum. And then I think the second half of the year, they'll probably finish. And if you check the last couple of years, they've actually finished the last 4 or 5 years stronger in the second half of the year
than
what Essendon has.
Oh, no doubt about that.
Yeah, spot on, George. Yeah, absolutely spot on with that. Look, it'll be interesting. As I said, I'm just holding.
Oh, you reserve your answer just to your own question, but we'll get that very, very shortly. Thank you, George. Ron's in Montana. G'day, Ron.
G'day, guys. How are we?
Good.
Now, it pays a bit to say, but I think it's the Bombers, because defensively, they're a hell of a lot better than North Melbourne. North Melbourne are very, very poor defensively, and generally a good defensive team generally performs better in the longer run of the season.
Yep.
I just think the Essendons are a good news story, and with everything going the way it's going for them, it just would not surprise me if they're up there and even playing off in the big one. It just seems to be going all their way, and I just think they're defensively a much better team, and North Melbourne got major defensive failures.
Ron, I like that, and I reckon Terry might be.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with
that one.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to give one of KB's prizes he didn't give away earlier. So a $50 dining voucher to the Vito Stone Bar and Grill. Stone Bar and Grill in Melton. Good times, great steaks. Call 1-3000 Stone. You'll love that, Ronnie.
Well, there's a couple of aspects to that for me. They can get it off you with blokes like Hibbard, I think's quite good, but obviously Hooker being the main one.
Yep.
But now that they've got Hurley back into that defensive area as well, I mean, they can play good one-on-one footy.
And he knows that's where he's staying.
Correct. They can play good one-on-one footy as well. So they're pretty physically tough back there as well. Bagley holds his ground. Hibbert holds his ground. Hurley holds his ground. I mean, they've got some good, tough boys back down there as well.
Good on you, Rod. Good call. Sean's in North Dandenong. You might balance the ledger up here. G'day, Sean.
Gentlemen, how are we?
Good.
Look, I'm a North supporter, so I'll say that up front. But I would go with North. I would go with depth, and Saturday night's game highlighted that for me. Basically, ran around without Wells, Del Santo and Zeeble. More importantly, now Hanson, Grimer, Mullet, Paul McMillan in the back line, which are all starters. And if we get those blokes right, as that gentleman said a few calls back, and up and running towards the end of the season. And I think the mental stability, the fact that they know they can get over teams like Essendon and Geelong from last year's final, should hold them in good stead.
Yeah, good call.
Well, yeah, I think you put your points together fairly well there and fairly valid. So I've got no issue with that. It's interesting with their back line. You know, is it strong enough? Will it stack up? Will those blokes come back and play major roles or minor roles? Mm. It's interesting when guys have missed the pre-season? Do they come back to the form that they had last year? Yeah, very, very interesting. I'm going for Essendon.
Yeah, why?
For a few reasons. Their back line, as was mentioned just before, I think is stronger. Personally, I think that they've got more class and depth through the middle of the ground. I think that that one-dimensional ball getter that they've got in the middle of the ground, Cunnington, Swallow, those type of guys, for me, I don't see enough difference, point of difference, and real top-end class. And I know Del Sano gives you that, but I'm now questioning, does he get back to his best this year, or are we looking at another 12 months down the track with the injury that he's got? Mm. Those are all questions for me. So I just think the other thing that I really like about Essendon is the spine. It's young, it's big, and it's improving. I think that there's more improvement in the Essendon side, just for me, than what there is in the North Melbourne side. Next question before we get to a break, us to give you something to have a bit of a think about, and our listeners.
Good.
Who is the best interstate side and why?
At the moment?
Well, who do you think is the best interstate side? So if we believe that Hawks are going to be up there again, which of the interstate sides do you genuinely believe have got the best chance of challenging the Hawks?
All right, let us know. 27-4, give us a call, 94291116. Just looking at the Kangas next couple of weeks too, Terry.
It's a tough run for about the next five.
Yeah, Geelong this week, Hawthorn at Etihad, that's where they play well, so that's okay. Richmond, Essendon, Fremantle. That's before they get the Pies at the MCG. So the next 5 weeks, you're right.
Well, they want to come up.
We'll find out more.
We will know by the 5 weeks
where
they sort of sit, and they'll need to be coming home strong yet again.
Terry Wallace joins us every week, and it's great to have him on board. We plough into the world of footy, and today it's question time.
So who are you going for? I suppose you've got the two Adelaide sides up there. You've got Sydney and Fremantle would be, I would think, the four that you would pick from.
This year, who I think is the best? Small sample, I think Fremantle. I think Fremantle are bordering on
Fremantle, the complete footy team
at the moment.
I think Fremantle will beat Sydney in Sydney this weekend. That's just my opinion.
At Freo.
Because it's at Freo. Would you pick them? Would you select them if it was in Sydney?
Yeah, I would. From what I've seen so far, yes, I would. Mm. Now, we're working with two really good teams here. It's a tough battle, that one. But from what I've seen from Freo, I know Sydney have done what they've done, and they've been very, very good, mind you. I've been super impressed with Fremantle. Their ability to move the ball, the speed of ball into their 50, the way they've obviously harnessed their defensive aspect. And one of the big points that Kingy raised today, which I hadn't thought about, but makes a hell of a lot of sense when you're watching them play and you're seeing how dynamic they are, is the one defensive player out of the middle with Crowley being
correct.
And they've put a more attacking type flair player through that middle of the ground. It's just changed the dynamic.
Yeah, and you can still use Clancy Pearce in that lockdown role when needed rather than just all the time. So, that gives them a lot more flexibility, doesn't it? I think they've flipped around a few other things. I mean, even last weekend, they were dragging Pav up the ground to sort of see whether the big boys in behind could do the work. Just to trial a few things to sort of, in a game that they controlled, to sort of see what else is working for them. I think the fact of having Walters back fit and well is a big bonus to them as well. So there's a lot to like about them.
Yeah, I think it's a two-horse race really at this stage from what we've seen.
But I was over in Adelaide a couple of weeks ago and watched Sydney absolutely demolish Port Adelaide. So they did a pretty good job.
They're two pretty good teams. Let's see what our listeners think, who they nominate the best interstate side and why. Pete's in Mitcham. G'day, Pete.
How you going, fellas?
Going well.
Sydney.
Why?
It's a no-brainer, isn't it?
Well, no, I don't think it is. That's why we're asking you why.
I reckon it's a no-brainer. I reckon it's a done deal.
Yeah, well, why?
Anyone can say no-brainer. Give me a reason.
What's the reasons why they are so much stronger than anyone else?
Forward line, back line, on ballers, the whole team, the whole package.
There you go, Terry. It's as simple as that. Forward line, back line, on ballers.
Well, I tell you, the forward structure that they've got is very, very good. I tell you one thing. Kurt Tippett needs to pick up a bit of form.
Yeah.
No one much has spoken about him.
No.
He's on a big, big pay structure. Not quite sure whether he's earning his keep right at this minute. You'd pick him in the side every single week, no problem with that, and still plenty of ability to come good, plenty of time in the season. He's not flying.
If you had only one $1 million player in your team, who would it be at the moment up there in Sydney?
Budweiser.
Yeah, the Budweiser. By a mile. You're right.
He's starring.
You're right. Thank you, Pete. Pretty simple. It's the vibe. Some of the SMSs just said about Pete's call. It's the vibe. Thanks for your call. Michael's in Epping. G'day, Michael.
G'day, fellas. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Hey, Michael, you got a same answer or a different answer?
Mate, Fremantle.
Why? Are you going to visit the vibe again?
It's not. Mate, look, I've really enjoyed watching them this year. Their ability to win the ball from the stoppages has been apparent for a few years now since Ross has been up there. But their ability to score from those stoppage wins now is just fantastic. The way they move the ball this year, they're really starting to benefit from Sanderland's ruck work, I think. And as you said before, bringing Lachie Neal in, another offensive player instead of Crowley, has really changed, you know, having to rely on guys like Pierce and Stephen Hill just for flashes of brilliance. They're actually doing that more consistently now. So I really like the way. I'm a North supporter, but I love watching Freo this year.
Yeah, look, I think they're playing absolutely brilliant footy. Lachie Neal, pretty special player, half.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He's something else on the weekend, wasn't he?
Well, that was his first ever 40-plus possession game. But
not
I think
too many players have any of those.
I think we'll be seeing a few more from him all the same. He's a really special player. And the other thing that's going to happen with him, obviously for our dream teamers and super coaches, I know he's right up there money-wise these days, but he's never going to get tagged.
Yeah.
With those other blokes in that side, he runs around every single week guaranteeing he's just going to play his own natural game.
Yeah, pretty handy number 58 in the draft, Terry.
Very handy.
Pretty good pick.
That's around the same sort of mark as what Swanee was. He was in the 50s.
Yeah, he was in the 50s.
Too,
you're right. Thank you, Michael. That's one all for Freo and Sydney at this stage. Dave's in Melton. He's a Collingwood supporter. G'day, Dave.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we?
Going well, thanks.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, for me, Sydney by a mile, and I'll tell you why. It's because they're the most defensive beast in the AFL. But then again, they can turn it around and whack 10 goals in about 15 minutes. Buddy has gone mad. He's playing like a midfielder and a forward, so he's playing like two players on the field. They're just brilliant right through. They've got stars and talent right through. If Sam Reed can stand up a centre-half back, they'll be up there with Hawthorn for me.
Well, it'll be interesting. I mean, really, when you have a look from round four last year, they've been the best-performed sides, just win-loss, from that period of time onwards. So that's virtually a 12-month situation because we're back to that round four now. So they've been the best-performed side. They just had an absolute shocker on grand final day.
No doubt.
Now,
no doubt.
We've seen a lot of times before that burns inside some teams and they come back on that same day 12 months later and, right a few wrongs. Doesn't mean it guarantees it happens. But these two sides that we're talking about, Sydney and Fremantle, we could easily lob to grand final day and they were the two grand final combatants.
No doubt.
I mean, Hawthorn, yeah, obviously you're going to be there and around the mark, and I'm still very, very bullish about all that they're doing. I know they lost the one game, but got no issues for me that the Hawks will be right up there again, but you wouldn't be shocked if we got to grand final day and it was Fremantle and Sydney.
No, absolutely not. Just on the defensive aspect at this stage, only three games in, of course. The best defensive team is Adelaide, for points scored against. Sydney are second, Hawthorn a couple of points behind them in third, and Fremantle are fourth.
Well, let's just go to that game the other week that we spoke about, Port Adelaide.
Yep.
They gave up 60 inside 50s in that game and kept Port Adelaide to, 40 points for the match. So
yeah, just absorbed it, didn't
just
they?
Bring it the way that they just never allow one-on-ones in the defensive 50, always had a backup, always had support there. And then you go to the other end and you have got Franklin and Tippett and Heaney now standing up. So, yeah, a lot to like about them, no doubt whatsoever.
They're pretty handy players, those two boys. Horry's in Melbourne. G'day, Horry.
G'day, fellas. I actually agree with you, Terry. I would not be surprised to see Sydney and Freo playing the granny this year. I think Freo are a bit ahead at the moment. I really like the midfield, and I think Kingy was spot on about Crowley going. If there's one thing that Sydney does have a problem with, is they play two or three lockdown type players. I know they can hurt the other way as well, but Bird, Cunningham, McGlynn, Lloyd even, are often in lockdown roles, and I think it's just a little bit. So they rely on the brilliance of Hanbury, Kennedy, young Heaney, and of course, Budwar. But, you know, that said, they're a fantastic team. By the way, I think there'll be five interstate teams in the eight.
So who are the others?
The two Adelaide teams.
Yep.
And my sneaky is the Giants.
Mm.
Giants.
And I'm not impressed beyond. Hawks are a great team, obviously. I think Geelong and possibly Essendon will make it. Essendon always start the season well.
They do. It's been a very different start to the year, though, this time around, Horry. It's been a very different build-up for them. So, and listening before to Justin Crowe, I'm backing him in. He's a sports science that they'll finish the season a lot stronger than they have in previous years, Terry, which will put them in good stead.
I think we'll get four interstaters. I'm not quite sure we'll get five this year.
Yeah, I'm thinking four. Four seems to be the number for me, too.
I think that's about right. And most of the other things that he said were quite okay. Swans have got an interesting situation. I'm really keen on seeing them play the Hawks next time up, because their midfield, as good as what it is, has been smashed by Hawthorn's midfield the last two times they've played. Not only grand final day, the MCG the time before that as well.
Well, round eight is when you get your chance to see them at the MCG again, Terry, on Saturday night, which will be excellent. I'll be that game. What was your response to the best interstate side at the moment?
Right at the moment, I'm going Fremantle. I think Hawthorn is still the measuring stick, and I think that Fremantle have more weapons to be able to challenge Hawthorn and take it right up to Hawthorn than what Sydney do. And that's in the middle of the ground. I thought that they were inexperienced come grand final day a couple of years ago. I think there's some things that went wrong for them the back end of last year. They lost the wrong players out of their lineup. They're really hungry for some form of success. And I think that that strong-bodied midfield, we saw it in the third quarter in the grand final 2 years ago, really caused some trouble for the Hawks.
Yep.
I just didn't think they handled the big day. And on their first occasion, I think they're the ones to me through the middle of the ground that can give Hawthorn more trouble than anyone else.
We have to wait till round 15 till we see that encounter. Freo and Hawthorn in Tassie. Big blockbuster for the mighty people of Launceston.
Absolutely.
They will love that. Just on the D's, how have you seen them and their improvement? And more importantly, on the back of their improvement, what did you make of the significance of the Bernie Vince role last week for them against Paddy Dangerfield?
I thought it was brilliant. I mean, it's up to the adjudicators to see whether he's slinging his opponent after the event, after the ball is spilt free, because I thought there was a few times that he could have been pinged for hanging on too long and almost sling tackles.
Yep.
But that's up to the umpires to look at that and look after that if they think that there's any case to look after. So, look, aggressive, hard-nosed, a few things that I wouldn't have necessarily always sort of thought when I think Bernie Vince.
No, that's fair enough. Right?
I would have thought Bernie Vince, party boy, loves a good time, but that's aside. But in all honesty, I would have thought Bernie, beautiful kick of the ball, great finishing skills, that side of him. Great to see him be that competitive. And as much as what you're seeing now, the Roosie style coming into play with Melbourne, I think it's more than that. I think it's also been the type of player that they've brought to the football club. And, you know, I love the list management space.
Yes.
Tyson, Cross, Viney, Hogan, Brayshaw, now add Vince to that. They're all tough.
Yeah.
They're all competitors. I mean, once upon a time, we used to have a look at Melbourne and it was sort of Nathan Jones dragging everyone else along and a few little cameos from a couple of other players. They've added six, seven, or eight genuinely tough guys, and some of them are only young men. I mean, Hogan is a great competitor for a young kid. Brayshaw, wait until you get the opportunity to see him enough. I mean, he is super tough. Will go and win his own footy, and we saw what Viney did with Ablett. You know, disappointing that he's got that injury again now, but they have, like, Roosie always wanted to play that competitive style of play, but you've got to have tough blokes to do it, and they've made sure that they've layered it with physical footballers.
Well, that's good news for Demons fans listening to Terry Wallace, who's ploughing in with us on halftime, as he does every Thursday throughout the season and beyond as well.